Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chris Gibson, let's talk about what's on everybody's lips now, and that's immigration reform. The president, who I think is a really decent man who really wanted to help, says, okay, you know, we'll take care of the kids when they come, and then there's a path to citizenship, and we hear all about that. And now we see this incredible flood of unattached kids coming across the border. What do you make of that?
Well, it's very tragic. And I think the president spoke to that, made it clear that he believes he was misunderstood by these countries who then we saw a major influx of children coming without their parents across the border, and his intention to ensure they get the welfare and the safety. But then the president is going to send them back. You know, I think, you know, given the challenge of where we're at right now and what we're seeing in the Southwest, it's clear that we need to fix this broken system. You can argue this from any direction politically that, that you want. You can argue it from the center with regard to farmers and small business.
Who need help.
Well, they need the access to reliable labor pool. You can argue this from the left in terms of worker justice. You can argue it from the right in terms of safety and security. But from any direction that you're looking at, we have a system that is not working. So I would think that very tragically, the circumstances in the Southwest would be more of an impetus for us as a people to realize that we've got to have significant reform to our laws, and we need to have a system that works.
Okay. I'm going to stop you right there and say, tell us what to do.
Okay. So, and I published on this. I've written a letter to the Times Herald Record. Yeah, I believe this. First and foremost, there has to be a belief that we're not going to repeat what happened in 1986 when we thought we had resolved the matter of immigration. So, you know, there has to be really confidence that this system that we bring forward will be the one that we're going to be able to live with.
How to do it?
So first of all, security. So too often, I think we move quickly to exclusively to the southern border. That is an issue, that security, but it's not just that. It's also the northern border. It's the ports, the west and the east. And so we have to put emphasis there. We have to have an ability to enforce our laws. So, you know, you are talking about that type of reform, but it's going to take more than just the money there. I think it's going to take a concept of federalism, just as we secure ourselves now with
federalism, meaning that the states will play a role and the feds will play a role.
I do believe that. I believe that they'll be just as we do this now with security. We have the military, the active duty military, have the National Guard, and in our policing, we have the state, and then we also have the county sheriffs. We'll need a federalism concept to implement this. We also need technology. We have the E-Verify system.
What's that?
E-Verify is a database that we're able to check to verify legal status, that would be used for not only employment, but also benefits and for visa applications for schools. Once a visa is approved, that would go into the E-Verify database. So you have the security piece of this that you'll know you'll have for efficacy. E-Verify plays a role. Federalism plays a role. And then you're going to have to streamline the naturalization process. That's part of the reason why we're in the situation we are today.
Which is?
It takes 9 years to become a citizen in some case. It just shouldn't take that long. We've got to do better on that score. Then, you know, the other piece of this is the worker program. You've got to have a work. This is what we learned from 86. You know, and I've said to folks, you can make any law you want. You really can. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't comport with the iron law of the labor market, it's going to be broken. You have needs in your supply and demand, and your labor market has to address that. And so that's why we're going to need to have the worker program that goes with it. And then when you put a system in place that we can all have confidence in, that it's going to be efficacious, that it's going to be successful, then you have to deal with the 11 million people that are here now. And we are a nation of laws, and we're a nation of immigrants, and we need to find a way to reconcile the two. I believe the way to do that is to allow those that are in the country now, undocumented, an opportunity to plead guilty. They come forward and plead guilty. They pass a background check. They pay a fine, tantamount to back taxes, and some say learn English. And with those penalties— important to say with those penalties, because we're not talking about amnesty. I don't know anybody or very few people are talking about amnesty. What I'm suggesting here is not amnesty.
Well, if they can stay under any conditions at all, some people are going to see that as amnesty.
Well, I don't know how you would make that fit with any Webster's definition. Because, you know, there have to be penalties to action, but then there would be a path to legal status. So I think that we're going to have to do this.
So you're sort of with the president on this.
Well, I think I'm with reasonable people on it that says that you can put your head in the sand, but when you pull it back up a week, 2 weeks, 5 years from now, it's only worse than it is from this moment.
Now, Chris, I wanted to ask you something. I think a lot of us had a sort of false consciousness. We thought that we've been putting tremendous resources into that southern border, drones, dogs, army, as all the things you sort of named. But apparently it's not working.
No. And, you know, I talked to someone that's on this mission, and they had shared with me a while back, about a year ago, that from their personal experiences that it was not working. And so I know this is a very politicized topic, unfortunately, right now, but we really need to take the temperature down a little bit and really just work to get it solved. Because if we don't, here's the issue. We've got a humanitarian crisis and a tragedy unfolding right now in the Southwest. And the president, he just came out, he spoke to it. I think he was rather stern, but also, you know, we recognize that we have to provide for humanitarian relief, even as he's working towards returning the children back to the countries from where they came, and to ensuring that those countries understand that they misunderstood him with regard to the current status in the United States. So, but coming out of this, we've got to come together and we've got to pass the kind of reforms that give us the confidence that we will be able to enforce our laws and be able to deal with the situation we have on the ground right now in the United States.
Now, Chris, I love what you're saying. I do. I think it's great. However, you have colleagues who I think some of whom on the Republican side would rather have the issue than have the resolution.
Well, here, you know, I would just say this, that if we, the longer we take to resolve this, the more sad circumstances that we're going to deal with, as we're dealing with now in the Southwest. And you just listen to our farmers today and you hear about their plight. And I'm talking about all over the country, not just in the Southwest, but right here in upstate New York. We've got a system that doesn't comport with the iron law of the labor market. And we've got to come to terms with this. And we have always been a land where people come and they're ready to work hard and to make us a stronger country. We're a country that has a declining birth rate. And if we're going to compete in the world, we've got to have this this viability and this ability to replenish our ideas and our workforce. So, you know, I am for reconciling the fact that we are both a nation of laws and a nation of immigrants, and where we are today is unsatisfactory, and we're going to have to solve it.
Got 1 minute. I want to ask you this about that. The Republicans had their clock cleaned in the last presidential election in terms of the Hispanic vote. Do you see that changing?
Well, you know, I've tried to address this in a manner that doesn't bring the politics into it, because I just think that from a policy standpoint, we've got to improve this. And, you know, some have said that this is impacting presidential politics, and there does appear to be some evidence that reflects that. But I also want to say this. You know, I've met with the Irish ambassador, and we've established a friendship. I'm looking forward to her coming to upstate New York. She's going to come to Kingston for Labor Day weekend. We have an Irish festival that takes place there. She has made it very clear this is an issue to the people of Ireland, too, because we have folks here now, laborers. Some are undocumented, and they can't go home. They have parents that are sick or aging, and they can't go home, because then they don't think they can get back in the country and they'll be separated from their family here. So I just want to make it clear that
you don't hear much about this.
You don't. And it goes beyond. Look, I have met with the Hispanic Latino leaders in my district, and I think it's very important that we listen and we hear their concerns. But I also want to say this is bigger than just those communities. This is an issue that goes beyond and really reaches across the world in terms of cultures that are impacted here in the in our communities, and it's also important for us from an economic standpoint, from a security standpoint, from a justice standpoint, that we address the issue.
Chris Gibson, always wonderful to have you here with us. We're so pleased that you dropped by. You talked to us in person. Very much appreciate it, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Al.